you ready to turn right? Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
What's up, fellas? Happy Father's Day to you both.
Same to you. And Mr. Sonny. I'm doing this right. This is my Father's Day gift to Sonny. Hollywood! Hoonie!
Very nice.
Holy shit. A little bit of Paul.
Very nice.
A little bit of Hetfield.
Happy Father's Day to everybody. And I just found out, I guess I'm not the only one that has an Uncle Al here. I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a second, because we're going to have to figure out if this is true or not. Thank you guys for listening to Podcast Rock City. We appreciate you being here. Man, we have some pretty cool stuff to talk about today. I did get some mail. However, it was all the mail I got was because people want to come and do the show next month with us, because we're going to have a listener on with us each week of the month. And that's how we're going to do July. So that's the mail I got. So I didn't get any questions or anything this week. That's okay. So with that being said, let's get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
So there's a few things that we got to talk about. But before we get into any of that, somebody's got to help me clear this up. Because we discussed it off air here, and we don't think that it's true, although it could be. But on Kiss Asylum's webpage, now Kiss Asylum is one of the most awesome news sites you could go to for Kiss news. I mean, we love it. It's been around since the 90s. So if you get a chance to check that out, go there and check that out. That website is awesome. I don't know why I'm telling you guys. You all already know that. But on there is a story that says Paul Stanley's dad selling his invention 2,000 flushes. Damn! Is this even true? I looked it up, and the guy's name is Al Eisen.
Yeah, but Paul's dad is William, correct?
Yes, Bill Billy Macker Buddy.
Is his middle name Al, perhaps?
You can call him Al. Maybe call him Al.
Nice. You can call me Al if you want to.
No.
So I just found this. I just found this article from December 3rd, 1998. And they're talking about Kiss and Alice Cooper, you know, the whole LOM 18 thing, and Gene, you know, trying to go after King Diamond a while back about the makeup design, right? But right. In the 1, 2, 3, 5th paragraph, it says, and this is December 3rd, 1998, ironically, in the early 80s, when Kiss's career was going down the toilet, Paul Stanley's dad, the president of 2000 Flushes, sued the Clash for sampling his Sparkling Bowl commercial on Inoculated City. That's even a ska band named after 2000 Flushes. What does that mean?
Damn.
That's crazy.
There's even a ska band named 2000 Flushes.
Yeah. I never heard this before. I'm the worst Kiss fan ever.
I've never heard this before.
I never have either.
Damn, that's pretty crazy. Sonny, if you could post that on our group page, that would be great. Right underneath the place where I wrote, is this true? And then everybody's going, I don't think so.
Yeah, huh. We'll do.
That's crazy.
And there was also Paul a band Stanley's called that then?
2000 Flushes?
2000 Flushes, yeah. Ska band, I guess.
That's funny because one of my favorite bands from Canada, this band Chicks Dig It, they have a song called 2000 Flushes.
Good grief. I'm going to start a band that's called Paul Stanley's Dad Cleans My Shitter. Every flush.
So are those like those little things that you see like on the side of a urinal? It's like a little cake thing.
No, this is a, it's like a, it's, it looks like almost like a pint of ice cream kind of looking thing, and you put it, it's plastic, and you put it in the bowl.
Oh.
And then it's like a, probably like, it's, I've never owned one before, although I'm going to get one now and get it signed by Paul Stanley. I'm kidding. That's humor.
So how come, like, this... Kiss hasn't branched off from like, that? You know, get your I'm little purple saying... star urinal cakes. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying, okay. They really, yeah.
So I'm going to do a conspiracy theory here. Remember, they weren't getting along.
Right.
That's true. So according to the book.
Never came out because of that.
Yeah. That's crazy. So man. All these years we've been missing out on Paul's dad. We could have been helping the dude out.
So Paul Stanley is worth $200 million. What would you say the 2000 Flushes guy is worth?
I bet you they're worth some. He's worth some money, dude. I mean,
good that, Lord.
I've heard of that shit my whole life. I never used it. I mean, I don't know if my parents did when I was a kid or what. I don't know.
Said it came out in the 70s.
Yeah, so it's very possible. But I'm sure, I mean, if it was going from the 70s into the 90s, he had to be making money. You know, you don't just struggle for 20 years and keep doing it, you know?
Damn. All right, well, this is news.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
I never knew that, so it's news to me.
I never knew that, and it's not in Paul's book.
No.
My dad, a smart as hell person that invented 2000 flushes, it said that he invented it because he got tired of cleaning the toilet because every time his wife asked.
Paul was always pissing all over when he was a child. Dude, hit the bowl, bro. Making your dad invent a whole invention to clean up after you? Wow.
Hit the bowl, bro.
Yeah, there's no way this shit is true. I can't imagine this is true.
Well, what article are you? Did you find the? Was it from? Is it like from the fucking Onion or something? Or what, like, what's it from? It's, is it in Rolling Stone or Spin magazine or something?
No, it's in where the hell did it go?
Hit the bowl, bro. That shit's good. Comedy gold.
Klebscene.com. And it looks like it's about Cleveland almost.
Wow.
So, I mean, I used to read Clit Scene. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Love that magazine.
It was always funny because you had to pull that hood back to read it.
Oh, boy. Okay, so if you guys out there know, send us a letter, podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com, and let us know what you know. Do some research, man. Be a crack, like, what do you call it? Partner. Because we're looking, and we're finding little things here and there, but if one of you guys knows, somebody tweet Paul and ask him, because I'm not on that motherfucking Twitter shit anymore. It's too scary. Okay, so that was one thing. Here's the next thing. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last show. Did I mention Funko Soda?
I don't think you mentioned it on the show. But I saw that posted it.
Yeah, Funko, the pop company, is putting out pop, soda pop. So it's Funko Soda, and there's going to be a demon, a demon soda. Like, we don't have enough of that. But it's cool because it comes with a little character. And I know you guys out there have already seen it. But apparently, like, there's going to be a one out of every certain number of these little characters is going to glow in the dark, man. Which is pretty awesome. So you can get them. Just go online and type it in. And there's a whole bunch of places. One of my buddies sent me a, it, apparently it says Toy Whiz. Sorry, I have to giggle every time I hear the word whiz. Toywiz.com, you can go on there. It's like $13 a can, but you do get the little action figure guy thingy. He's doing the little demon finger thing. He's got his tongue out. It's kind of cool.
$13 for one can, huh?
Yeah, I mean, but, like, you know, nobody's going to open it.
No one's drinking that shit, no.
Nobody's drinking that shit. I've had it, the Funko soda. I've had the Funko cereal. And we all know what happened when I ate that shit.
Yeah.
I had to swear off eating online anymore because the microphone picked up every munch. It was cheese, a little vino. Okay, so yeah, so you guys check that shit out. It sounds like it'll be pretty cool. I think it said it comes out in September, so you got some time to wait. And that'll be fine because by September, maybe we'll be able to be stuck in the house again and you'll have your soda. I had one other thing, and I wanted to talk to you guys about it, kind of make it in the news, and because I posted it on our group page. Did you guys get a chance to listen to that really early interview that I posted? With the night. What's her? Are you there?
Nightbird.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah, I've listened to that a ton of times over the years. It's good.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Really?
Yeah,
I heard that.
I had it. I used to have it on one of those picture discs. It was one side of one of those old picture discs back in the 80s, dude.
Wow. Damn.
I still have that somewhere. Because there was like four or five of these picture discs that came out in like the crazy nights, hot in the shade time frame.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think it was the one that had, you know, that shot where they have that kind of like naked chick and the blood and all that?
Yeah.
It was that one.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Damn, I don't have that. It's on now. No, it's not on. I have so much shit. I'm buying slides. So stupid. All right. So, you guys have heard it. I never heard it. It was news to me. So there.
I just saw a post on FAQ from Dale Sherman talking about it. So it must be true.
Really?
Yeah. Well, wait a second. I didn't read the whole thing, but yeah.
I don't know. Jody's reading the headlines. that's okay. What does it say?
Let me just scan it. It doesn't really say anything.
Oh, well, there you go. At least this is interesting. This is new news. This is new. We got to find out if this is true. Somebody out there, somebody has to know. Let us know. Let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
So, a TV show aired about a month ago called Breaking the Band Kiss. They had Breaking the Band Kiss. They had Breaking the Band Van Halen. They had Breaking the Band Led Zeppelin. And maybe Motley Crue. I don't know. But, of course, I didn't care about any of that shit except for the Kiss one. So, I watched that. And we didn't even mention it on the show. I didn't mention it because I saw it. The other guys, Jody and Sonny, did not see it. So I worked it out and made it so they could see it, and now we could talk about this terrible piece of artwork known as Breaking the Band. Now, when I say terrible, it's not really terrible, but it's not, I don't know. It's not great.
Well, it I don't know if you have ever seen them about God, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, it had gained some popularity. There were these shows called the 24 Hours Before Blah, right? So it was like the 24 Hours Before Marvin Gaye's Death, or before, somebody died or somebody murdered somebody or whatever, and they would like reenact, like Morrison's death, they would reenact the 24 hours that happened to his death, right? Yeah. I saw one on Jimi Hendrix, etc. So it's like this documentary, but it's got some real clips, some folks that are involved with the bands and celebrities they're talking about, and then some that are acted out. This is very similar to that, except for they brought it to this thing, right? I saw the Police one, it was good. I just saw the Zeppelin one, it was good. Difference here is when somebody's playing Robert Plant, long as they're dirty blonde and they look white and they're skinny, you'd pretty much pass off anybody if you're going to kind of blur out the background. But the makeup Like, Paul couldn't even... DePaul didn't even hold a guitar right. He was like one of those kids that are like 10 years old. The first time you touch a guitar and they're like weird with it. That's what... Like, he's an actor, but he's not a musician.
You think it's just so they didn't have to like pay licensing for the actual makeups and shit?
I'm sure that's what it is, but it's not even close. Did you see like Aces had whiskers?
Yeah. Whiskers? Man, what was that all about?
Yeah, I mean, it was like watching one of those really terrible Kiss tribute bands, but like even worse, you know? The outfits were way wrong. The Ace looked absolutely ridiculous with those whiskers and like his like afro. It just looked ridiculous. But you know what?
And when the Ace guy was even wearing bandoliers.
Yeah. But what was funny to me, though... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say the Peter makeup was the closest.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was cool, though. Like, I had never heard of this show, so I thought it was just going to be, like, just a regular documentary about Kiss. I didn't realize it was going to be about, like, the breaking up of the band or whatever. So when it first started, I was digging it, dude. Like, I'm a sucker for any kind of Kiss documentary, even though if it doesn't have a single stitch of anything I haven't seen before, I still enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But as it started to unfold, I'm like, what is going on here? And then you know what I mean? And then those characters made their appearance, and I'm just like, oh, boy, this really kind of derailed pretty quick here. You know? It started off pretty fucking cool, I thought, you know?
Hell yeah, JR was in it at the very beginning.
Yeah, like, this is going to be cool. You know what was even crazier, though? I figured it all out, like, maybe after, like, 10 minutes or so, but, like, on certain shots, I was like, man, this is cool. You could kind of see those solo posters kind of subliminally on the screen. But then I realized that you must have just filmed it on your phone off of your fucking TV.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. You saw the reflection.
Yeah. But I didn't figure that out for like 10 minutes. I'm like thinking, man, they really did. This is kind of cool how they have this in there. You know what I mean? But it was just your wall.
Now we know that my version's better.
Yeah. I was wondering why, too, that you had said in our text and our group thing that it was like 6 gigs. I'm like, damn, how long is this thing? Then I put it all together.
I just filmed it on a phone.
Yeah. It worked. It was clear. It sounded fine and looked great, too.
Yeah. I mounted that bad boy, got it up there, and just said, go. Left my room. You can probably hear me coming in and out every once in a while.
I don't know.
But anyway, so let's just talk about this a little bit. First of all, one of the best things about it is, I mean, when it came out, it was a month ago. But when I watched it again today, and I realized that the first thing you see is JR, kind of hit me a little hard. I was like sad. I was like, man, look, this might have been like the last thing he did.
Probably was.
And I wonder when he filmed this, because he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
So I wonder if this has been. It definitely was not like canned interviews or anything. They did this for the documentary, if you want to call it that. And Dee Snider was the host. And every time he said Ace Frehley, it pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because his name is Frehley, not Frehley. We all know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no way this is approved by Paul or Gene. Because Snyder is doing the narration. Eddie Trunk's in the thing. Ace is being interviewed. Like, there's no way this is done that way.
Right.
Yeah. And it's older interviews of Ace, too. It's, And Ace, you know, he's being honest. Ace is being really honest in the interviews. But it's like, one of the things, okay, so we'll get to, I have some shit to talk about with this. But one of the things that I found interesting was JR in the show, great. Eddie Trunk, qualified. The girl, I cannot remember her name. I wrote it down.
Yeah, from Cream Magazine or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jan.
Co-founder.
Yeah, she's the co-founder. Jan something. I'm sorry I can't say her name. It's something with a bunch of jumbled up consonants and a vowel thrown in for good measure. She's qualified, right?
I know where you're getting at, because where'd you get this idiot radio guy?
Where's the radio guy? This and it said underneath, Derek Redick, radio presenter.
Yeah.
What the fuck is a radio presenter? And why?
Radio presenter is basically a DJ today because they don't have any choice in what they play, so they're just presenting what, you know, Clearview presents them to play. So he's,
I guess,
I present
yeah.
you with this song that you just heard an hour ago, you know?
Yep. I got news for you. I was in radio for a little while, and I can honestly tell you that a lot of times, if you think it's live, they went in early, said their stuff that they were going to say in between songs, and then they stick it in the thing and go home.
Yeah. It's basically just
I was thinking the same thing, Joe. I was like, okay, you have these credible people in your documentary. Why some bonehead radio guy? Like, you could have got somebody from Hit Parader or Circus or whatever. Right? Six Man, whatever. Why did you have to go with this radio guy who's telling me Ace is the greatest guitar player ever and Peter was never any good, but he was appropriate for the band?
Never. Like, I'm not sure. Yeah, his comment, I'm not sure Peter Criss was ever a... Did he say good drummer or...
Yeah. Was it ever any good?
Was ever any good? What the fuck are you talking about, dude? You are... it's like, look, he's no Neil Peart, okay? But go back and watch 1975, 1976. He was a beast. He wasn't... What the hell? That was upsetting because he's the guy there to bash. He's the guy there to say, to talk shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Eddie Trunk wasn't doing it, and JR wasn't doing it, and the girl wasn't doing it, and the business manager from...
Chris Lent.
Yeah, he wasn't doing it. So
yeah, I guess you have to balance it out, but yeah, I thought that guy was a douche the whole time. It's like, fuck that guy. You don't need him, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And the guy who is one of either the guy that was Ace or the guy that was Peter, when there was a scene where they were leaving the stage, it was supposed to be from a Dynasty show, and one of them had I thought the hairiest chest I ever saw, and then I realized that it was like a black fuzzy shirt underneath those little cross bandoliers.
Yeah.
It's like that Peter is like a gorilla, and Peter Criss doesn't have any hair on his chest. I'm sad that I know that.
Yeah. It's really not meant for the hardcore fan. Like, I watched the Police one. I don't know a damn thing about the Police, except for, you know, the three guys. I know the hit songs, and I know some of the stuff Sting did. That's about it. So for me, the Police documentary was great because I don't really know a lot about them. I didn't really know why Zeppelin broke up, so the Zeppelin one was great to me. So this, I think they're just trying to get the story out there. I don't think they're trying to write books with it.
Yeah. That is always a thing to consider. It's like, we know everything. We've seen it all. So it's going to be different to someone like us than just, you know, your average Joe that might happen by chance on TV or whatever, you know?
One of the things that I thought was interesting was that Eddie Trunk had to give, like, Tommy Thayer some props in the video talking about how Tommy Thayer helped, you know, Ace relearn the licks. I thought that was pretty interesting. Here's the other thing that really kind of weirded me out. Linda Papadopoulos or Papadopoulos, she's like a shrink on the show who you know, I guess they gave them gave. I don't think she knew anything about Kiss in real life. I think they gave her scenarios. Okay, so Peter and Ace have been friends for a very long time, and now Peter is finding out that Ace is making $10,000 more a show. Well, right now, obviously, he is going to be hurt and upset because this is his brother, since basically they were kids, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah,
why is there a psychiatrist?
She's on all of them. So the same thing. Jimmy Page is on heroin. He's hallucinating. Robert Plant is only drinking. And, you know, Bonham is drinking himself to death and doing 40 shots of vodka in a night or whatever. And then she would make this, like, determination of what she thinks was going on. I don't even think she knew any of the names before she started.
Right. Well, she's there to kind of, you know, fill in the people with, like, that don't know the story, like, a big fan would, so you get to kind of the behind the scenes look at how fucked up they were from her on every episode, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that.
My favorite line in the whole thing, though, was when they started talking about maybe there was going to be a reunion, and they said, you know, because the fans are kind of like divorced kids and their parents, you want the parents to get back together. And I was like, man, that is so freaking true. I thought that was a pretty good line.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought was interesting was that they skipped from 1974 to 1979, just kind of mentioning in passing that Billicoin tried to get them to do solo albums to try to keep the band together. And they even talked a little bit about Sean Delaney, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah,
that's cool. There's got to be a better documentary. It just hasn't been made, I don't think.
Well, supposedly they're working on it right now, right?
Yeah,
it's got to be better than this one thing, you know. God willing.
Ace said in one of the interviews. Now, one of the interviews. These interviews of Ace were obviously old canned interviews that he had already, and they used them because he was talking about being in Kiss. And one of the things that he said was, I feel like I was more creative away from those guys than I was with them. And okay, I don't know if that's true or not. I just want to say at the beginning, it was because you were sober, dude. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like you were creative because you weren't passed out in a tub.
Well, think about it, though. I mean, he was more creative out of Kiss because he didn't have Paul and Gene writing all the songs. He had to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And well, Kiss, yeah. So he was forced to be, but he still could have been creative. I would love to know how many, like, every time Kiss did a record, how many songs did Ace show up with each record? I would love to know that. I mean, how many of them got, because if he's showing up with two songs or one song, or is he showing up with 10? I would love to know the truth about that.
I don't think he was showing up with many because he was already hoarding songs for Rock and Roll Over for his damn solo record. So how many can you really have?
Yeah, and I think what happens in those situations, and I think it happens with all of us. Now I'm playing this Linda Papadopoulos lady. is you got this relationship going at the beginning. Everything's wonderful, and everybody's contributing and blah, 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 blah. Then you start getting annoyed by somebody's habits. So although you're trying to keep everything separate, their creativity is now diminished because these habits that they got are a pain in the ass. And I don't want to listen to that guy. Right. Well, then the guy like Ace is like, well, why would I bring shit if you're not going to look at it? Right. And slowly they just started drifting apart. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I wonder, will we ever really get the true story and true story.
My guess is nobody knows that.
That's a good point.
Yeah. the only person that knows the absolute true story is the 36 seconds that Ace was sober for 5 years.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Peter, Chris, they talked about, now I did not know that. Okay, so here is an honest moment from Joe. I ain't read Peter Chris's book. I hear the worst things about reading Peter's book. I want to read Peter's book, but it's very hard to read that book. And everybody says the same thing. It's basically Peter blaming everybody else for everything that ever happened to him in his life. And I don't want to read that. Although they could be wrong, and I don't, you know, I'm missing out, but I had, and I don't know if this is in the book, but it talked about him, you know, putting a gun in his mouth. And did you guys know that before this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that in the book?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I missed out on the book.
What I thought was interesting about this thing, is they play up Ace, his solo career. They make him a partier, of course. And you know, they talk about he shows up late to this, that, the other. They absolutely kill Peter in this thing.
Yeah, like, they kill
Peter
him.
Peter is always the scapegoat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely whoever made it leans towards Ace for sure.
And I would imagine that could be Eddie Trunk. I don't know. I'm making that shit up as I go. But, he's buddies. I don't know who made the video. But I do know this. They went out of their way to really kind of air all of Peter's shit, you know? Peter screwed around in a show. Gene kicked him. They went back out for the encore. They came back. He grabbed a bottle. He smashed it. He went, wanted to stab Gene. Paul got in between them and made everything right. And Peter, was down to his last. He said, "I'm down. I had $100,000 in the bank." He said that like it was a little bit of money, which was really funny to me, because he was talking about being broke. I had $100,000 in the bank. My life is miserable. I'm like, dude, I will swap lives and bank accounts with you right now. It's just like you really don't. Your life has been pretty awesome, dude. I don't think somehow. Anyway, I would not trade Karen though.
Right.
I have to keep her.
Do you guys think, though, that since, I mean, the whole series is kind of about how the band broke up, I mean, they can't really blame it on Gene or Paul because they stayed the whole time. So it had to be about all the fucked up shit of Peter and Ace, good, right?
Good. Check out the big brain on Jody. Good point.
Yeah, but there's enough out there that Paul is, can be insecure, manipulative, whether you believe it or not, right? Gene can be very pig-headed, very business-minded, wants to succeed no matter what, can be abrasive. Like, they could have played that up.
Yeah. And I was kind of surprised they didn't go into, like, the non-makeup stuff with Gene going Hollywood and even the stuff where Paul plays Madison Square Garden and then is alone in the deli 5 minutes later. No one even knows who he is and all that. But, yeah, I guess they just focus on Peter and Ace mostly.
Yeah. I thought the most interesting thing in the documentary, and that's why I'm glad I watched it a couple of times, is I guess I didn't really realize how big they became and how quick it was. I know how big they were, but now that I think back, I'm like, okay, that first album comes out, it's the beginning of 74. By mid-77, they're gods.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? 3 years is ridiculous short amount of time, and they're on their, what, fifth album by then? Sixth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by 79, that's how many years, 6 years total, basically.
Yeah.
Think about it. That's Monster's been out for longer than 6 years, and that was like the entire, it doesn't seem that long, and that was like the entire arc of the main arc of Kistry, the glory days. It's very, very short time. with a lot of stuff.
Then I started thinking about just little things that have made it, cult classics, right? So JR, you know, God rest his soul, seems like a really nice guy. I've never met the guy. Seems like a great guy. But he was really with KISS 3 years. Okay, there were three very important years. But if he doesn't say what he says in KISS Alive, does anybody ever know who he is?
No, that's a good point. I mean, he's in some of the pictures.
People like us would know who he is.
Yeah.
Because we know who, like, Rick Monroe is and all these other guys that didn't say it on the record that were in that same boat, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But no, that definitely puts JR a little bit above all those people. He starts off with, like, the greatest live record of all time, right?
Yeah.
And he wrote that part. That was his idea. And I do think it sounds better, hottest band in the land. It just sounds cooler than the hottest band in the world, you know what I mean? Because it rhymes. It's just cooler.
and this Tom Snyder interview, good Lord, I cannot see it enough times. This is one of those things I would watch every day. If I had half hour every day just to burn, I think I would watch that interview every day. Just to see Gene and Paul being so pissed.
Yeah.
And there's a few times where Paul laughs, but Gene is...
pretty miserable.
Miserable.
How cool would
and
it
the
be?
Guy yeah uh-huh. Good.
Oh well, how cool would it be if like there was some reissue of that of the Tom Snyder show that had different angles you could watch, because sometimes when like they're showing Ace, I would love to see Gene's face then when Ace is coming up off the couch and all that, when you only see Ace, you know what I mean? Because I just would love to see the whole thing from different angles. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. Being, you know, the trout player when he says that, and the and the space bear, and
all
plumber.
That.
It's like, cool. Why'd they put Ace so close to Tom Snyder?
And I thought it was also interesting, you know, I gotta shed some light on myself here. When I've gotten enough alcohol in me to where I'm that nuts, there's no way I'm not slurring and my eyes are like a little droopy. Like that's just part of what the makeup is when I've got a half bottle of Jack in me. It's the perfect grease on the joystick for Ace, though. It's like he's enough in to be completely loose, but not so far in that he's like mumbling his words.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like the fun guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were trying to be serious and trying to win back their fans and trying, you know.
Yeah.
Paul and Gene were. I get it. But if they knew that he had been drinking and they brought his ass out there anyway, it's partially their fault.
And they could have played it. Like, they could have just been cool with it and played along, and everyone would be even more legendary because it's like a loose KISS where they're all making jokes and shit. It would have been cool. Instead, you get, like, grumpy demon, you know, which is just as iconic to us, you know, but imagine if they would have just played along and had a good time with it for Halloween, you know.
Grumpy demon. Wow, you're full of them today. This is great.
I don't know, man.
When you're on, you're on. The other thing was, man, did they really, I mean, like, this is how you know they really went after Peter. They really reenacted the scene where he walked in holding the music stand and putting the music on the stand. And then he like read it for a few minutes and then he goes back to playing. And I was like, let me tell you something. Peter Criss on his worst day is better than the guy playing Peter Criss in that video.
Totally.
It's like he didn't even look like he didn't look comfortable at all.
Yeah, and then they went to Linda about dexterity and how drugs might have messed up his hands and blah. I'm like, really, lady? Like, yeah. They spent a lot of time on Peter. They really did.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this documentary is pretty strange. What else do we have going on?
I don't know.
They talked about Unplugged. They talked about being at Gene's house, talking over the reunion tour.
Money. Let's talk about money. Chris, when he so Ace went to him and said, "I feel terrible. I'm making $10,000 more than you." It's like, why does he feel terrible? I don't understand. It's your buddy, and your buddy didn't negotiate the contract. Like, I don't understand that at all. I mean,
plus, at the end of the day, Ace has more to do. He does deserve a little bit more. You know, he's a front guy.
And not only that, he kept playing. He kept his name out there. Playing Kiss songs live. He kept, you know what I'm saying? Peter, really, not so much. He put records out, but he didn't have the success. I mean, and $10,000 is a lot of money to everybody. Okay, I get that. Yeah. So, and then the little tear, the kitty tear that he drew underneath his eye, and I hate the fact that they show the footage of him pushing the drum set off, because I could have been at that concert. I did not go because I went to a wedding and of two people that like were divorced 6 weeks later. It's like, ugh.
Damn.
I could have gone. That was the last show on the farewell tour, the first one in the U.S., and my buddy Doug was like, let's go, man. I got a ticket. It's like, I can't go. I got to go to a wedding. I should have gone. I have it on video, though. It's not the same.
Yeah.
And then the other place they talk money is when Paul and Gene offer Peter and Ace $850,000 to not be on Psycho Circus.
Yeah. And did you guys notice how the narrator is like, Psycho Circus received critical acclaim? I don't remember any of that. You know what I mean?
From who?
From who, yeah. I don't remember that at all. I remember most people thinking, what the fuck? But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Here's the other thing. It's like, let's be straight up about this. What the fuck are you doing? Them $850,000 not to be on the fucking record. What the hell?
You know, Ace is like, done. You didn't even pay me back on a live too not to be on that shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, almost a mil. Like, why not?
Why would Paul and Gene do that though? I mean, everybody. The minute the song started playing, we knew it wasn't Peter.
Yeah, I think that they thought he wasn't good enough, and they were probably right. You know?
But still, you made that bed, sleep in it. Trust me when I tell you, they could have made a rock. They could have made a record with Peter Criss playing the drums. It just wouldn't have sounded like whoever played the drums on Psycho Circus.
Right.
He did it live, right?
Yeah, he did it live. But they probably weren't too happy that he had to, you know. I mean, imagine you come from playing with Eric Singer, and then you go back to Peter Criss, who like you're like Tommy Thayer has to teach him his fucking parts. He doesn't even play drums, dude, and you're teaching Peter Criss his parts. You know what I mean? So to them, I don't know. They're probably like, damn, this kind of sucks. After playing with Eric Singer. Especially that era of Eric Singer, Revenge era, that dude was really out of control. And then you go back to Peter Criss, who's like barely tapping his drums, and they have to be triggered because he's barely fucking hitting them, and he's just a powder puff old man, you know.
The wind blows, and there's a drum solo.
Yeah.
Boogity boogity go.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I was super stoked to see it and see Peter play with Kiss, but you know when you kind of hear about it later how he wasn't doing shit. It kind of sucks. I'm sure it sucked for Gene and Paul to have to deal with that. I mean, they didn't even use him on Dynasty or Unmasked. It's nothing new, right?
Right, and they were forced to use him in the Symphony.
Yeah, to get that third guy in there.
Yeah.
He did fine, though. I mean, I'm not a Peter hater, but I get where Paul and Gene wouldn't want to have to fuck with him on a record. They know their track record with that dude. He's going to say, I want a solo here, whatever. Let's just go in the studio and bang it out with a pro, you know?
Yeah. I got to say, I remember listening to Cycle Circus the first time, and the part of the Kiss Army that says, the minute I put Cycle Circus on, it absolutely sucked. I can't stand that record. The first five songs are not that bad. It's when you get to You Wanted the Best is where it goes downhill.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was like I liked the title track, and that was about it, man. And I didn't really, I could tell you right away it wasn't Ace, but I didn't really, wasn't really listening to the drums at all anyway, enough not to tell you if it was Peter or not on first listen. But I could definitely tell it wasn't Ace, you know?
I definitely knew it wasn't Peter. I mean, it was just too busy.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, well, that's a discussion for another time, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
If you guys have not seen this Breaking the Band thing, just what channel was it on? Reels?
Reels, yeah.
Reels channel, if you guys get it, go and take a look at it. Keep in mind everything we said. And if you did see it and you enjoyed it or you hated it, let us know. podcastrockcity1@gmail.com. That's the number one. We would love to know what you thought. Do you guys have anything else to say about this before we go?
I'd say all in all, I did enjoy it. I mean, it wasn't the best thing I've ever seen, but I always enjoy the retelling of the Kiss tale, you know? So I didn't mind it. It wasn't the best one I've seen, but yeah, I'll watch any Kiss documentary and enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about this today. I'm like, if the makeup and the four guys that are kind of pseudo-playing Kiss halfway look decent, I think I would have less complaints about this thing.
Yeah.
Because honestly, Dee Snider did a great job narrating, which I'm surprised he even signed up to narrate Kiss. Right? So he did a great job doing it. But it just, the minute I saw Ace with whiskers, I was like, what? And then I was looking for anything that was wrong after that. That's what the problem is.
Yeah, like, why couldn't they just, like, get one of those, like, established tribute bands that look good, like Mr. Speed or whatever? They look like Kiss, you know? You could have those guys, and they'd be way better than what is actually in the documentary. But, yeah, I think that would have helped too, Sonny, because that shit was ridiculous.
Yeah, super strange. Okay, so I guess that'll be it for the Breaking the Band Kiss show. Jody, you have anything to add?
Nope, thanks for listening. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and yeah, thanks for listening.
Cool. Sonny?
Happy Father's Day to you guys and everybody else listening. And this Reels thing, I'm telling you, give the Journey one was pretty good, and the Police one was pretty good. So if you don't know a ton about Police or Journey, I think you'll enjoy those two.
Cool. And I'm going to tell you guys Happy Father's Day as well. Everybody out there, all my friends, don't forget. Next week we have Joey Quesada on with us. And that's always fun. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. But, listen, speaking of Peter's book, if you want to read a good book, go and get Joey's book. And it's really great. And it's on audio now, too. If you want to check that out, hearing him read it is fun. I'm just saying. I've been in the middle of that when I'm driving. I don't drive as much anymore because my job is only 10 minutes away now as opposed to an hour. So I'm going very slowly through his book. But it's the audio way is awesome. Thank you guys for listening. You know what I'm going to say. We love podcasts. We love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones we love right after this in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
at this moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare, classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.